Come on, let's give that praise to God. Hallelujah. Come on, I said praise God, not me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you. We give you praise, we give you glory and honor. Because truly you are God, and beside you there is none other. We thank you for visiting this house this morning. We thank you because your presence always abides in this place. We thank you for the leadership of this house, and we pray for their safety and their protection and the exposure that you want them to have while they are visiting South Africa and the group that they are with. We thank you because you're doing great and mighty things here at Kingdom Life, and for that we're extremely grateful. We ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would word my mouth, God. Let the anointing on the inside of me rise up to a level that will overflow and be a blessing to God's people today. Ask that you would fill those with the Holy Ghost that are needing to be filled so that we can pray in tongues and get this job done. In the mighty name of Jesus, I take authority over the powers of darkness in every way that you would try to come to hinder the work of God, and for every household that you're trying to tear apart, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray for the deliverance of every child, every grandchild. We pray for the healing of every person's body. We take authority right now. We declare and we decree that the devil has no part, no lot, nor matter in anything concerning us as believers. And we thank you because you are the God that always causes us to triumph. In Jesus' name we pray. All the praise, all the glory, and all the honor shall be given unto you, because you are truly God, and beside you there is none other. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Let's clap our hands before the Lord while you are being seated. I want to give honor to the presence of the Lord, who is certainly in this place. Amen. Is always present in this place. Every time we are blessed to come here and be a part of this service, it's just a blessing. We certainly give honor to your most honorable Pastor Michael Phillips. Amen. And to his lovely wife, Anita Phillips, the children, and all the household of faith. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you. I tell you, I was so excited when I learned of the news. Oh, excuse me, before I get into that, I want to give honor to this most honorable woman of God, Apostle Sandra Hayden. Amen. If it wasn't for her, you would not have Pastor Michael Phillips. Let's give her a big round of applause. Her and her husband, thank God. So grateful for our family here. So glad to see my son. He disappeared, but I saw him. Amen. To Elder Smith and Sister Smith, God bless them, precious people. To our daughter-in-law, she's with the Children's Church, I'm assuming. Amen. Little Mikey's up there at Harvard. And Olivia popped in for a moment there, wherever she was. I want to say, I don't know anybody that can lead praise and worship like Trina. You are awesome. I mean to tell you, you are awesome, girl. Amen. God has so gifted her, and to see her leading it, not just leading it, but being involved in her own praise and worship as the tears begin to flow down her face. And I've never seen her any less. She certainly is an excellent monitor to show the congregation how to go in on praise and worship. It is a blessing. So glad for Pastor Michael and Anita, for the door that God has opened for them and allowed them to have been invited by Bishop Jakes. Praise our God. I mean, hallelujah. Us mothers are happy. Us mothers are happy. And God has a time. Now, Pastor Michael, which you already know, and certainly to Glenn and his lovely wife, you all did a fantastic job. So beautiful. So beautiful. It's so nice to see people church where you have people that support their ministry and all those things. They made that fun night sound so good. If I was closer, I would try to be here and wrap up some kind of sheet and come on back out to worship the Lord. Certainly to the mothers, I miss Mother Betty wherever she is. Please give my regards to her and to the other mothers of God. God bless you all over the house. To all of our family. You're all family. You're all family. Amen. And it is indeed a pleasure to be with you. But you already know what a wonderful gift God has given you and Pastor Michael. Learning, we call him our son in love. And because he is just that. He is such a fine young man. Such a fine. Uncle Morris and Aunt Charlotte, God bless you. Such a fine young man. And he's sincere. There is no other hidden agenda in this young man's life. Now that is for sure. He's humble. He's not starstruck. He's not any of those things. He just wants to please God. And I have known for a very, very long time that the mantle of your husband, his father, is upon him. And that he will complete it. I even see that that is on Michael, our grandson. It's gone from one generation. That doesn't mean God's not going to use girls, because, hey, let's hear it for the girls, all right? Hallelujah. God uses us. Amen. Because if I get down here for that fun night, I'm going to come as Superwoman. Okay? God uses them all, but there are generational blessings and that God has raised up. The work that Pastor Phillips, the father, did not finish and complete, it will be completed through his son, plus what God has called his son to do. And so that's a wonderful thing. And when they first told us of the invite and the trip that was offered to come for them to come and go, I was like, praise God. It was actually no surprise, no real surprise, because I knew what the Lord has shown me, and I'm sure has shown his mother also, of the great things that he would do in their lives. And the few pictures that I have been blessed to see that came back on Facebook, and the word from them that they are having an absolutely wonderful time. And I brought that up because I want to say this, and his wife is equally lovely wife. She was brilliant from childhood, and she is brilliant to this day. She has a mind that completely expands and expands, and I'm grateful to God for that, and she will be a tremendous blessing to you. One of the things I want to say to you is, because I know by way of the Lord, the door that has been opened for Pastor Michael Phillips is a door that's not going to be shut. It's not going to be shut. God is taking this church from a local church to a national church to a global church. Amen. That's what you are. Not just a local church. You are going to end up being a global church. And you're being thrust there quickly. And this weekend was the catalyst. This trip to South Africa was the catalyst with the exposure that he's going to have. Well, also the exposure that he's been getting, he's done a fantastic job here in the city of Baltimore with all the things, which I don't have to reiterate about. You know about them better than I do because you're here on the local ground. But I say that to say this. It is so important that you solidify yourselves as a church, as they talk much about being a church, because the work that God has called him to do, so have you been called to do also. Yes, indeed. When in the sixth chapter of Acts, you can read that when you go home, and the word came that the widows and the affairs of the church had to be taken care of. And so you're going to have to solidify yourself even more than you already are and carry this church where it has to go. You know why? Because there are going to be many times he's going to be out because of the demand of the gift of God that's in him. And whoever he leaves in his pulpit is in no wise less. They will have a word for you. As I heard about that wonderful word on Wednesday night about the fig tree. Where's the couple that did that? Where's the young man that did that? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. He's going to leave capable people, And I don't want you to get so sewn into a person that you let your church go. The church is a called out organism from God. And you're the ones that are going to have the effect. And what I'm going to get into right now is what I came to talk about this morning. And I want to talk to you about tongues, praying in tongues, being filled with the Holy Ghost. But I'm going to go in a little different manner in which to bring it out. First of all, let's turn our Bibles to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And we're going to go to the 14th verse. It's so important to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14 and 14 will be a number of scriptures. And actually, I want to read it from the Amplified Classic. It has just a little different spin that I think is so beautiful. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14 and 14. It goes. 14 and 15th verse. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Ghost within me, prays, but my mind is unproductive. It bears no fruit and helps nobody. Then what am I to do? I will pray with my spirit and by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will also pray intelligently with my mind and understanding. I will sing with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit that is within me, but I will sing intelligently with my mind and understanding also. That's where we're going to start. Prayer is something that the enemy wants you to neglect. And I find many times that the church gets very, very cool when it comes to personal prayer. The enemy will always make you think that you have too much to do, or you got up too late, or I got to rush, or whatever. He'll fill up your day and everything. But yet at the same time, we will stop. I don't, but many people will stop and look at Scandal. And what's that other one? The Empire. Oh, my God. Jesus, if that's not absolutely crazy, I don't know what to think of that. And a few others, okay? And they're not that easy to get rid of, because I kind of had to wink and pray to get power off my mind. That's serious. Anybody else had to pray power off of their mind? All right. I'm not totally there yet, but you pray for me. I'm going to be thoroughly saved after a while. Just being transparent, all right? But we can sit down and look at stuff like this for hours, or any other kind of crazy stuff that comes on television. And as it was so amply described by Brother Glenn this morning, how people live in Facebook. I have to give Facebook a break. I just look at it, and then I have to put it aside for a week or two or something like that. And I'll come back and look at it occasionally. Because it's just plain foolishness, the things that get shown and what people talk about on Facebook. And so we spend all kind of time and then tell God that we don't have time to pray. I have been saved since I was 14 years of age. I am now 74 years old. Amen. Young. Let me put it that way. 74 years young. And I've been involved in prayer all of my life, because I came from praying people. But I learned early that we have to pray. My first experience in prayer and seeing a miracle was when I was outnumbered in a fight. It was 5-1. And I began to pray, and asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I take on one, but I can't deal with five. That's the truth. And so when school was over, they were out there in College Place waiting for me. And I'm like, oh, my God. And the teacher said, you can't stand here in the hallway. And she pushed me out. And I didn't have the benefit of sisters and brothers to help me, because I was an only child. So I stood there and I said, God, help me. And I was sincere. And as when I said that, when she pushed me out in the street, they were about where this brother is sitting here on the aisle there from where I am right now. And I got out there and I froze, because I thought all five of them were going to head in my direction and pounce on me at one time. But they kept laughing and talking, seemingly looking in my direction, but never saw me. And as I saw that God made me invisible, I started to inch to the corner. When I got up to that corner, I turned, I hightailed it all the way down to Court Street. Didn't stop running until I was in the kitchen on the fourth floor. So I'm a living witness to, for any children, that if you hear this, God answered that prayer for me. That was the first time when I realized he answered a prayer for me that my parents did not pray. And many times we take prayer in the same manner. We pray only when we're in crisis. Oh my God, this is wrong. Well, that's wrong. Oh God, God, help me. I need some help right now. But you negate praying and talking to the Father on a daily basis. Prayer is a conversation with an all-wise, all-knowing, all-loving Father, that there isn't anything that you can't tell him that he doesn't already know. Any place that you can talk about in location that he's not already there. But I want you to know that God wants to hear from you. He doesn't just want to hear from us in crisis. He wants to hear and fellowship with us on a daily basis. And so we'll look at TV, we'll do play games, we'll do whatever we do instead of having personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I read that scripture many years ago, I was in my teenage years, when I went in the Old Testament and I read where Moses talked, God talked with Moses as a man does with his friend. And that impenetrated my heart, and I was like, oh my God, that I can actually have a relationship that God will consider me a friend and communicate. He would call Moses up to the tent of meetings, and he would come down in that cloud and communicate with him because he was a friend to God. And so if there ever was a day that we needed to be in fellowship and in friendship with God, it is today. When I was down here for Thanksgiving last year, we were at David and Shekinah's house. The next morning when I woke up at their house, so I noticed this happening and has happened here in Baltimore. I am a seer. God will show me things in night visions and sometimes in the daytime where I'm not asleep at all, and all of a sudden God will just take me out of myself, take me to a place and show me something. But that morning, I woke my husband up immediately when the Lord showed me what I'm about to describe to you, because I always like to have a witness for what God is showing me. And in the dream, I was at a church that I preach at in New York City. And I was sitting in the pews, which I had never sat in the pews in that church. I always come in on the side and in the pulpit, preach, go out, and all that stuff. And so while I'm sitting there in the pews, all of a sudden I heard, I thought it was thunder at first, but no, it was repetitive gunfire over and over again. That was in Brooklyn, New York at First Church, Bishop F.L. Clemens' old church before he went home to be with the Lord. And so then I immediately beyond that, I recognized that it was gunfire, rapid gunfire. And so at the end of the vision, the Lord started pulling me out, which I could feel my body being lifted up and out of the location that I was in. A download of information. Sometimes I hear in my ear, and there are other times when God will give you a download. And the reason that he is able to deal with me in this manner is because I allowed myself to be a prayer warrior. But I started praying just to have fellowship with God. I didn't know anything about tearing down strongholds. I'm a teenager. I'm 14. But I wanted to be in his presence, and I loved him. But when I came, started coming out of the dream, the vision that God had shown me, I knew with the download that it would be just as much destruction with knives, with slashing, with machetes. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, horrible. Horrific street violence. And so when I came out, I knew that it would happen in New York. I knew it would happen in New Jersey because I could see my church superimposed over top of First Church in Brooklyn. And I knew it was going to happen in Maryland and in your area here in Baltimore, especially because I was in Maryland, but I'm here at people's homes that belong to this church. And in this city. And so you have already seen, I haven't kept up with yours as I have in New York and New Jersey, But it has been a year of the worst street violence. People are slashing people and just cutting them and stabbing them. And as late as the weekend before I came down here, I feel so sorry for this young man that's 18 years of age that killed one child, wounded another one severely in a school in the Bronx. Well, why? Because he said he was being picked on and had been bullied. Well, because he's 18 years of age in a history class with a 15-year-old and a 16-year-old, there might have been some special needs in his life for him to be like that. In other words, nobody won. Everybody comes out a loser. One mother's child is dead, and I know what that feels like. You have no word to describe that. Another mother has her child wounded, and the mother is stuck in Puerto Rico of the young man that did the stabbing. We are living in horrific times, and you and I are the only ones that are going to be able to make a difference. And making a difference is not just being saved, all right? You need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So let me back it up and say this. How do I get the Holy Ghost? First of all, I have to give Christ my life. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things pass away, and everything about that person is new. What it actually means in the Greek is, it means that you have the potential to become new. But something has to take place to catalyst you over to the area of becoming absolutely new. And so then St. John 3:16 picks it up and says to all of us, because all of us were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers and fathers conceive us. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not God's will that any single person that has ever been created should perish. But to all of us that are sitting here in church today, and even some that are saved that might not have been able to come today, God chose us and predestined us to be saved before the foundation of the world. And so before you entered your mother's womb, as God spoke to Jeremiah and said, before you got in your mother's womb, I separated you. I appointed you to be a prophet unto the nations. So all of us have a calling. Now, whether you allow that calling to come into full bloom, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And so you have to pass that test. And I'm here this morning to talk to you about things that you already know, but to reiterate to you that you need to bring it on up from just being sitting on the pew, being saved, to get to the place where you fulfill your destiny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before God ever sent me out to preach the gospel, at age 23, I started a conference room prayer on my job. You don't have to be in the fivefold ministry to be a witness. My husband and I started out from the weekend we came back from our honeymoon. We went into street work with about five other guys. I was the only girl that was involved. And we were out there every Saturday passing out tracts while the guys were preaching the truth of the word of God. The mailbox was the podium that Elder Scrivens threw his Bible up on, my husband and all those things. And sometimes we didn't come back in until 11:30 at night from 11 a.m. in the morning. But we shared the gospel every kind of way that we could. I started a prayer group on my lunch hour, and many people got saved. Many people got filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I did not consider myself special and wanted accolades from men. I thought that it was just what we are supposed to do. When you get saved, you are saved to save somebody else. You're not put here. Hey there, Brother Al. You're not put here just to enjoy yourself all by yourself and go to heaven all by yourself. And when you have that kind of mind, you might not make it into the kingdom. If Jesus gave his life for us to be saved, then we have to give our lives in reaping the loss to Christ. So, as many things went by, there are many things I could share with, but you get the gist of what I am saying. And so as time went on, Paul picks it up, and I'm starting here with Paul, and you're saved. Now that you've given your heart to the Lord, and you have allowed the Lord to come into your life, the next thing you seek is for God to sanctify you. I didn't know what was happening to me that Sunday morning between 1 and 2 while I was laying on the floor in old-fashioned tarry service. And all of a sudden, it felt like a ceiling had come down and a bright light was right over top of me that was blinding. As I lay there and began to say, save me, Lord. Just save me, Lord. And the more I said it, the more of a reality and a more of a desire came inside of me. We get saved so easy now. We walk up and we come down here and we stand here and we just go believe, receive, I believe, I receive. And we go back, we come up chewing gum, go back to our seats chewing gum, fan and everything else. But I'm telling you, with the condition our world is in today, who would have ever thought we would have a president such as we have in office today? Who would ever believe, you know, truth for him is whatever's coming out of his mouth at that particular time. You and I are in a precarious situation where we don't know what our government is going to do from day to day. Then on top of it, we're losing our respect with outside nations. Now, you know, the young man that pastor, not pastors, but is the president of North Korea, who is now... our president is calling him Rocket Man. Now, I mean, you don't need to push his buttons because he has a power of the atomic bomb that's 10 times greater than the one that was dropped on Hiroshima. Do you understand? And so we are in a time where any moment now, and I tell it to you because God showed it to me, a day will come when war will break out in this country, the United States. I've seen it twice in the last 50 years. And it's not going to be pretty. I'm not happy about it because I'll more than likely be alive to be a part of it. Because the other things that God has shown me, I have lived to see them already. So if there ever was a time for you to be crying out to God, save me the more, God. Save me and save me the more. I came back home from Buena Vista, Colorado last weekend. And while we were there, the condition that the women were in at this women's retreat was so pitiful until I came back and I wept tears and cried before the Lord. I said, God, I rededicate myself to you. I give you myself afresh, oh God. Use me to win the lost and the dying, to speak a word to people that will penetrate their hearts and they will be able to know that our God is a savior and a deliverer. It does not matter what you are bound by or have been bound by. 1 John. It says, for this reason was the Son of God manifested. It's 8b of the verse. That he might destroy the works of the devil. You don't have to walk around with a spirit of lust. You don't have to walk around with a lying spirit. Some people open their mouths and whatever they say is a lie. You don't have to be looking to the left and the right. You don't have to have a divorce. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to have a whorish nature. You don't have to be a non-tither. You don't have to be in the gay life. You don't have to be in pornography. You don't have to be in anything but saved, sanctified, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we used to sing a song, if you call on Jesus, he will answer prayer. You got to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Get down before God, pray in English and pray in tongues and say, take this desire out of me. Sanctify me. Wash me until there's no more. You have to pray in the Holy Ghost. God, take these cigarettes out of me. Take this cheating out of me. Take out of me whatever needs to come out of me. He'll do it. As I get into it more, in this 14th verse, he says, if I pray with an unknown tongue, my spirit, the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Ghost who's within me, prays. But my mind is unproductive. He says, it bears no fruit and helps nobody. Now, in this chapter is two things that Paul is talking about. He's talking about praying and interpretation of prophecy and all those. And then what happened back in those days in the Corinth, there were many other religions that were there. And they also, I was amazed when I studied and found this out. In their religion, they prayed in some kind of tongue. Now, we wonder how, and I used to wonder how, people would get the courage to just get into a plane and dive it down and destroy people. I look at what the church has let go of and what the world and false religions have taken up. False religions have taken up that if no matter what the Muslim religion, all of that, three times a day they're going to pray. They're going to face the east and they're going to pray. Where are they getting the strength to do what they're doing? When you fast and you pray, supernatural strength, whether it's the wrong strength or the right strength, is going to take over you. That's why they walk right down with bombs strapped all over them or in their backpacks and get into a subway, go out in some big, something like the game that's taking place down here this afternoon, and explode those devices, knowing that it's going to take their lives because they have prayed three times a day to the wrong God, small g God. What would God be able to do with us as a church? Hey. If we pray constantly, three times a day. I live in the area where it says, pray without ceasing. I'm praying all the time. I wake up hearing my spirit pray. I wake up praying in tongues. That's just a common occurrence. And I want you saints to get to that place. Now to move on further for time, I want you to understand there is an initial filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Okay, let's go to, I want to go to another scripture. Romans, the 8th chapter. Not over to Acts yet. Romans, the 8th chapter. And did I do it? I'm still learning how to use this stuff. Okay, all right, 26. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 26th verse. So, to the Holy Spirit comes to our aid. So, to the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears up our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearning and groaning, too deep for utterance. When you read it in the regular King James, I hope they put it up on the monitor, 8 and 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 27th verse says, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In other words, once you get saved, sanctification initially takes place. That's phase one. Phase two is, as you start to lay down stuff, and also while you're laying down stuff, you find out there are things that haven't come to you that you want to do no more. Amen. Immediately, I found that out within a week's time that certain fears had left me. Then complete sanctification is when Jesus calls us from this life to the next life, and we are totally transformed from mortal to immortality. And so now, once I've been saved, sanctification immediately comes into place. And you need to be saved, because saints of God, there really is a hell that is going to be miserable beyond anything that you and I could ever describe. I can't begin to tell you. I've read articles about it. I've searched it out in the Word of God. Satan himself is going to be thrown into the lake of fire. They taught hell to us so much when I was growing up in the Pentecostal church. To this day, I will not get in a hot tub or a hot shower. It is cool, and then I heat it up because I don't want to burn. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell them you don't want to burn. Amen, amen. And so the devil will have you doing everything under the sun, but because he wants to get you trapped where he is doomed for. You can make a mistake this morning and sincerely turn to God and ask for God's forgiveness, and he will wash you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the devil can never be forgiven. He lost out when he tried to take control over heaven. And that is the thing that you need to know. With the moving about of the couple of this church, your pastor and his wife, as they're going to be called out to other platforms, which is only going to bless you, because people like that are going to come here eventually. Amen. You better know it. And so it's going to bless you, but you will not have someone rise up on the pew that has been studying to be a pew pastor. All right, we're having none of that. We pray right now that God strike you down quickly, because we say the plans of kingdom life will never be disrupted in Jesus' name. Too many people have given their lives. The grandmother, I think it was. Then the grandfather, I can't remember all. Then the father. Now the son. Do you hear? On Anita's side, it was my mother and father, my husband and I. Now her. Both of these kids have background where the families have devoted their lives to the cause of Christ. You have genuine thoroughbreds at the head of your church. And God hasn't called you to be anything less than a thoroughbred sitting in the pews. Woo! When it comes after you've given God your life, I did not know that I had to wait to get the Holy Ghost. Nobody ever taught me that. That morning while I was saying, as the old saints got around me and say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I like to tell people to say hallelujah, because hallelujah in Swahili is hallelujah. In Germany, in French, in Spanish, hallelujah is hallelujah. It is the highest praise that you can give to our God. And he is worthy. I'm telling you, while I was up in those mountains, and here we are in an 80 degree day down on the ground, but yet snow was covering the top of the mountains, just like it does in Switzerland and parts, the Swiss Alps that you see in Italy. God's nature in Hawaii, places there are places that's beyond your wildest imagination. The beauty of God's nature, which tells us that earth was called to a higher realm than just shooting and killing each other in the ghetto and kicking in doors and breaking in people's houses and raping and doing drugs. You need the Holy Ghost. All of us need the Holy Ghost the more, so that we can get down in prayer, meet in prayer collectively, in families together, and start praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, break up this gang warfare. Break up blacks killing blacks. Gangs killing gangs. And oh God, when you told it to him in English, then you need to tell it to him in an unknown tongue. Pull it down. Praying with the understanding and praying in the spirit. So now let me take it on back over to Acts, the first chapter. Hallelujah. Had to slow myself down. I get real happy over some things. Amen. Aren't you glad you have the Holy Ghost? Amen. It's going to grow you. I remember when Keisha and Glenn, they had their baby, might be their baby, I don't know, they got a bunch of kids. So it was one of your babies. And she was the cutest little thing you ever wanted to see. And she would be walking. And so there's a table, dining room table there, that didn't hinder her. She just walked right straight underneath it and came out on the other side. Amen. But now, I'm sure she cannot walk underneath that table because she has grown. And that is what God wants us to do, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to have people, solid people in the house of God. All right, Acts the first chapter. And one more scripture after this one, and I'll be finished, all right? Acts 1, it says, in the fourth verse, it says, I'm going to read the third verse. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, talking about Jesus Christ, okay? Infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them. This is not an option. It is a commandment from God to be filled with being assembled together, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And in the eighth verse it says, but ye shall receive power after, everybody say after, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So this is the commandment, the final one, that Jesus gives after appearing on the earth for 40 days after the resurrection. He took the victory over death. He went to the cross so you and I would not have to go to the cross. He suffered the humiliation. That sin, he took our sin upon himself. He hung on that cross until he became a pedophile. But we have not a high priest who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmity. So yet, while he took on being a pedophile, he yet empathized with the victim of that pedophile. So it was boom, kidnapped, boom, the victim, Jesus identifies no matter what you have gone through, what you have suffered, the things that you don't even know how to audibly express. Jesus understands those things. And so here he says, after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall have power, what? To cast down strongholds, to pull down high places. Now, some of you perhaps came from the type of Baptist background, just wave at me, where they didn't teach about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of you came from the apostolic background where they said you were not saved until you spoke in tongues. And then some came through the Catholic Church. Well, my first exposure outside of the Pentecostal church was with a charismatic Catholic group. Any of you ever know anything about that? Amen. And so there was a father there in Bayonne, I can't remember his name, but God used him to get people filled with the Holy Ghost and get healed in their bodies. And so they invited me to come and speak there. And it was a wonderful experience to see these Catholic people instantly beginning to speak with other tongues. When I think I was in the hospital when I had my knees replaced, and there was an older woman that was not in the hospital. It was a rehabilitation center for that 3 weeks that we had to be in there. It was a grandmother next to me, close to her 90s, and her daughter came in. And so people kept coming to see me and having prayer and all that kind of stuff. So she kind of figured that something was different. And so we began to have conversation, and I told her about being saved and filled. She said, I want that, the daughter. She was probably in her early 50s. And so one of the girls from the church was there with me, and she came over on my side, and we held hands, and we called the Holy Ghost down. I said, God, fill this woman with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She beat us speaking in tongues. She went right into a full fluid language, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. For some reason, we as people of color make it hard. It's like you go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank. And we still have not gotten it. When you start praising God to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you start giving him happy hallelujahs. First of all, you ain't going to get the Holy Ghost unless you've gotten saved. But that can happen 1, 2, 3, right then and there. And so now, I don't have to be, oh, hallelujah. Why are you not forgiving yourself for your sin? When God nailed your sin to the cross. Hallelujah to God. You don't have to be, oh, pitiful, pitiful. When you are telling God, oh God, that abortion I had, and God is looking over at you saying, what are you talking about? I've thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness, and you are as white as snow, and I'll remember your sin no more. Woo! Hallelujah to God. So now, in the background swear, oh no, what you going to be speaking in all them kind of crazy tongues? You don't know what you're talking about. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah, you know, coming out of Sia, come tie my bow tie, untie my bow tie, coming in our Chevrolet, all that kind of stuff. You don't know what you're talking about. They put it down. But at the same time, it's okay for you to march in that choir. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. Woo! All right. Now you're really getting in. You going in with God. You done caught the Holy Spirit. Get outside, light up a cigarette, and cuss out anybody you want to cuss out. That is not the Holy Ghost. What you caught was an emotional fit while you were inside that church. But you didn't catch the Holy Ghost. It ain't something you catch because it ain't running from you. He said in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hey! Glory be to God. I'm getting happy now my own self. Listen, so how do I get this Holy Ghost? Why do I need it? I need it because I got stuff to pray about. So, and I don't want to be praying some pitiful prayers like I have prayed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you have situations that are so bad until you realize, Lord, help. Oh, God, please. Oh, God, have mercy. No, that's a pitiful prayer. Anything. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14-15, the other one, for this is the reason, the confidence we can have in him that we ask anything according to his will. First of all, what is language? Language is the ultimate communication on earth. Now, all of us don't speak each other's language. All right, it just cracks me up when we're at the Asian nail shops. Okay, I'm on the first booth near the door. Then 4 rows back on the left side, there's a girl up against the wall. And my girl doing my nails, she says, da-da-da-da-da-da. And the girl in the back says, da-da-da-da-da-da. I said to her, is that your sister back there? She says, yes. They whisper, but they understand each other. All right, you hear what I'm saying? For all we know, they might be cussing us out. We don't have a clue. We don't know what's going on. Amen. One of the girls is a Spanish girl at our church, and she was at my house when I had these chairs delivered. And so the 2 guys that came in were Spanish. And so, you know, being a woman, you understand, Apostle, right? And they put the chair down, and I said, no, it don't look right there. So I was going to give them a tip. I, you know, give people tips. Don't go in no restaurant, give them a dollar. I don't want nobody spitting in my food. Give them a tip. So I said to the guy, I said, would you just put the chair over there? So he said something in Spanish to the other guy, not knowing that she was around the corner, and she came back out. And she came out and she addressed them in Spanish, because she's Spanish. She said, this is my pastor's wife, a woman of God. So if she asks you to put the chair, put the chair. Yeah. I didn't know until they left what went down, but I know that they had a smile moving that chair. All right. Oh, I got one better than that. Just recently, a couple of weeks ago, you know how we all get these calls? You want to buy this, you want to buy that, and you're like, all right, my number is on the list for do not call. So they just call you from anywhere. So when you hit it, so I hit that app to say, put me on the no calling list, and it opened up to some brother in India. How are you doing today? I said, look, I already got my number on the do not call list. Would you kindly keep it there? Well, that man started cursing me out. Oh, yeah. Oh, I got something good for him, though. He cussed me out. There's a difference in cursing and cussing. All right? Some of y'all been delivered from it, and some of you need to be delivered from it. And so, he cussed me out, told me I don't know what to do. It rose the Holy Ghost up inside of me. I said, Rabasian Korea Rabasokon Bokosha. Bandile Boko Siandra Ramande Rabako Kayete. Oh, I went into it. And when it, you know, subsided, I stopped. He stopped. He said, now watch this. This is the truth. He said, oh, you speak Fata? I said, yeah. You will speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. Hallelujah. Glory. I've been walking around for 2 weeks saying, I speak Father sometime. Hallelujah. I remember coming out of it, and I knew one word I said. I said, I curse you. So I don't know what he flipped upside down when that call was over. Now, you don't insult. You are God's daughter. You are God's son. I said you're God's daughter. You're God's son. You ain't got to put up with crap. Hallelujah to you. In the name of Jesus. You go in that store and you speak peace to that person that's not trying to treat you right. Now, other tongues. What's the necessity of other tongues? Jesus has a means of communication that takes us beyond our understanding. The cerebral capacity is limited. I can only say so much stuff about a situation. And then I hit a place where it's limited. I'm almost finished. Hang in there with me, okay? But this is what Paul was saying. He said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding. Once you get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now let me go. I'm going to read Acts. Okay, let's go to the second chapter. Okay? And when the day of Pentecost was fully coming, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak in tongues with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's different languages. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out from under a nation. And you can read the rest of that as a personal devotional time go down to the 15th verse of that second chapter. It says, for these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Amen. Do you hear what? This is what's happening now. So, would you go with this? They were there fasting and praying, waiting for the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, when Jesus met the 12 on a road somewhere, the Bible says he breathed on them. This is before he was taken up out of here. He gave them a taste of it before. Now, Jesus does not ask us to get what he has never received. He was born again when he was born. But when he was on the cross, the seven last sayings of Christ. But there was one time while he was on that cross that he said, Lama, Lama, Sabathia, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When I looked that up, it was the oldest form of Aramaic language on the earth. He spoke in tongues on the cross. When he went down to be baptized by John the Baptist, the Bible said the heavens opened up and a voice, which is the Father, and a dove descended down upon him. The dove represents the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. That's where the infilling came, and it spoke out of his mouth. Why did they put that in another language in that one place? Because everything, stop reading your Bible fast. Read it slow. Go back over it and say, everything that's in there was in there for a purpose. And when you don't understand, this is what I do. I take my finger or my pinky and I lay it on top of that verse. And I say, God, open this verse to me. Give me to understand what you are saying to me in this verse. I did that one day, 2 hours, when I was a teenager. 2 hours. And I go back and I read it, put my finger back there, and all of a sudden God opened that whole thing up to me, and I found nothing else in any commentary or study or school that I've been in that didn't say what God showed me. Read your Bible and slow. It's a part of your life. You can read Playboy and all this other kind of stuff, you know. You know, I'm sure you don't read Playboy. Praise God. You know, get every kind of edition of the Word of God. We got umpty nine Bibles. And it come out with another version, we get that too. Okay? So I can better understand the Word of God. And so, here, God says, I know that you're limited in your human language. So I'm going to cause you to pray with heavenly tongues. Other tongues that the Spirit of God would give utterance. And so while they were there seeking God and praising God and praying, singing Him, well, why singing in the Spirit? Because singing in the Spirit comforts you. Amen? It comforts you. You sing with the understanding that for years I led that song. Thank all of you that were able to be at our 50th wedding anniversary. You made it so nice. It was so beautiful what the kids did for us. When I got saved, I didn't have any apparent outward talents. I was very quiet and shy. It's amazing to me now that I can stand up and preach the gospel in front of people. I was very, very shy. I didn't say anything. I didn't start singing until I was about my early 20s. I don't sing that much now because I don't preach my voice out, you know. But you sing. So, what would I do? The other girls, 4 girls that got saved along with me, they had talents that showed up immediately. You would call it spoken word. We call it spoken word now, but back then we called it poetry. And all those things. But I had a love to go into my room and fellowship God by myself. My mother had a little rug down on the side of my bed. I would get down on my face to God. When I get from here to paradise, if it doesn't happen on this side, the first thing I'm going to do with my immortal body is I'm going to get on my knees. Because once you have this surgery, they tell you you cannot get on your knees. It's too painful, is it not, my sister? I want to get on my knees before God. But I would get on my knees and I would pray. Then I would stretch myself out on the floor and just put my face down on the floor. And I would visualize Jesus from the waist down, him with sandal feet. And I would lay at his feet and I'd say, I love you. I love you. I give you praise. I give you glory. I'd pray about the two, three things that I knew to pray as a kid. But then I found myself, I worship you. Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. That's in English. And then as I begin to stay before the Lord like that, this thing started happening to me that scared me. I'd be, and then all of a sudden, halamoye na na no na na si ando bokurasa. Hallelujah. Ramane la bo si ando koshe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, I'm going crazy. What am I doing out here singing in some other kind of language? And a book came to me from Oral Roberts when I was 18 years of age, and it talked about the Holy Spirit, and it taught me about singing in tongues and singing in English. It comforts you. Oh, my song, when the devil was heating me up so tight so many years, my sister, and I would be out there, I would sing to the top of my lungs when I could sing then. Came over here to live right. That was my testimony to the devil. Till I die, I don't care what you kick at me, no matter what you throw at me, I'm going to live right until I die. It comforts the heart. It eases the depression. That's what the singing in the spirit does. But the praying in the spirit does a different thing. Now that I have the Holy Ghost, so now I'm going to pray with the understanding. God, deliver my child. God, protect my children. You know, in most households, you know, people say that you live right and all that your children will do right. That ain't always true. Ain't always true. There's a whole new breed of children. Jesus have mercy. All right? We live in the era of narcissistic society. It's all about me. And that's just where it's at. So, there were times, and I give you this one example. I'm on the job. I'm sitting in my typewriter. And I'm typing up everything at Colgate Palmolive Research and Development. And all of a sudden, I looked up, and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And the Spirit of God came down over me so heavy. Have you ever had the Spirit of God just drop right down on you to pray? And you might have been sitting there looking at, Andy Griffin. You know, R&B. And all of a sudden, whoo, shake, ba 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 ba, say that. Love you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, spirit of prayer dropped down on me, and I could not speak English. All I could say was, yeah, no, 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 yes, kind of, but it was throat utterances because I'm in the middle of an office. And so I'm typing, no, 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 of course, no, 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 no. That went on a while, but it got more violent. And all of a sudden, when I was coming out of it, the only thing I said in English was, protect my children. Protect my children. See, you need the Holy Ghost. Because without the Holy Ghost, when you pray in the Holy Ghost and have the Holy Ghost, it surpasses your understanding. You can't love without the Holy Ghost. You can't have peace without the Holy Ghost. You can't go through a divorce without going crazy unless you got the Holy Ghost. Rama say, hallelujah, God, take me through this thing. So here I am praying, protect my children. 3 miles from where I was, my kids are walking home from 2nd Avenue down to 8th Avenue. Valerie was about 8 or 9. Anita was 4, because she was in a preschool. Anita was in this special group that they took all the way through high school. It was about 6 of them that were absolutely genius. And they keep in contact still to this day. But when they were walking home from school, they got a block away from school, a van pulls up and stops. a commercial van, not with the windows. A man jumps out with a ponytail. This is back when they were snatching kids in Atlanta, Georgia. Left and right, some of you older ones remember that. And a guy gets out and he's walking along. And I had always taught my kids, walk up close to the curb, off the house. Don't walk close to the curb. And he said, little girl, don't you want a ride? I'll give you a ride home, which we all have taught our children. Don't get in nobody's car. And Valerie said, she said, no, and she kept walking. She put Anita up against the wall. Another half a block, there was an opening about as wide as from where the people are to this wall, where you could run down that hill and you would be in the middle school playground. So she said, I whispered to Anita, go, when we get up there, you run down in the playground, because Valerie felt, she was very spiritual. That's why you don't give up on your children. The kid that gives you the biggest problem is the most anointed child you got. Hallelujah. That is for sure. That's the mark of God, because the devil jumps in on that child. So she was walking and she was watching the man. And she said, when they got there, she said, run, Anita. Anita ran down the hill. And Valerie said, I fell on the ground. So if he had to get somebody, he could get me. She was going to spare her sister. As soon as she fell on the ground, a blue car pulls up behind the van. And a woman named Barbara, that's a dear friend of mine, got out. Her brother and his wife live around the corner from where we used to live. And she said, Barbara said, hey, Valerie, Anita, come on. You need a ride home? She told me, this is how I know the kid was telling the truth. She said, I noticed this van in front of my car because I pulled up right in back of it. And she said, the man, there was a man that immediately jumped in the van. There was a driver. And they sped off. And Valerie told her about that van. So she got Anita back, got in the car with Miss Barbara, who was a longtime good friend. And she brought them home. I'm on the job. If God had said, pray, your children are about to be abducted, I'd have went crazy. I'd have been trying to run down. I wouldn't have known where they were. I wouldn't have known where to go. But the Spirit makes intercession with groans and moans and utterances that we do not know. That we do not know. Driving down the parkway. Coming from New York preaching, heading to Tom River. All of a sudden my hands went up in the air. Went on until it stopped. About 5 minutes after that, there were cars on either side, four lanes. Snow and ice all over the place. I don't know what I'm doing going to Tom River. I should have went home. But I love my church. All of a sudden, the car just started spinning round and round from one lane over to the next lane. First of all, where did the people go that was driving next to me? God will make a way for you. That car spun all around. When it spun back to the left, there was a ravine that it could have went down. There was no rail there. It spun and slid right up to the place where it could get over. By this time, sometimes you got to say more than Jesus. I said, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy. And I felt the car when it got picked up and it got set down hard, and the car never moved again. God took care of it 5 minutes before we got to it. With other tongues. That's how you're going to stop smoking. That's how you're going to stop being a whore. That's how you're going to stop being a liar. That's how you're going to stop being depressed. That's how. Ramande Corsia de la Voz Shata. That's how I'm going to get healed. That's how I'm going to stay delivered. That's how you're going to come out of crack cocaine. That's how you're going to get off reefer. That's how, that's how. Look at your neighbor and tell them, that's how, that's how. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. That is what I came here for today. Pastor Michael has an ability to draw especially young men. There are many men in this congregation, but there are going to be so many, you're not going to have no place to put them. Trust me. There are many of you I pray for. I constantly, down through the years, I pray for Elder Jay, his wife, when she lost her brother. There are many. Uncle Morris, when he got sick and lost all that week, I went to the girl. I said, no, God, we got to have Uncle Morris. No, shade it up, I see, I know. He done gained some of that weight back. He look all right. Amen. Praise our God. There are many of you I pray for in this congregation. Why? Because love comes, the right kind of love, when you have the Holy Ghost. Peace that surpasses understanding. Because when I pray with my English, I don't get past, I don't understand this guy. I don't see why this had to happen. But if I pray in the spirit, in an unknown tongue, and keep doing it every day, and the devil will make you so lazy that you only speak in tongue the first time you got filled. But he wants you to speak in tongue daily. 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 Is that the White Castle getting a hamburger? Man, Anita. And Anita ordered the thing. And I had just come out of church preaching. And I was standing there and I said, hey, no, son, no, sir. And the lady looked at me. Anita said, my mother's bilingual. She covered it up so good, I didn't even feel I had to do anything else. David know we pray in tongues at the house all the time, ain't that right? All the time. Call him up and pray on tongues on him. We'll continue to do that. Hallelujah. Amen. He just hates it when I do stuff like that. That boy gonna come in here walking on water one Sunday. Oh yes he is. Hey! Hallelujah! Celebrate what God's getting ready to do for your family. Hallelujah! Celebrate what he's doing in your body. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I hear this. You have many people here on all levels of the spectrum of finances and education, as he already stated that part. But you can pray in tongues for your business to advance. Because you don't know you've done all that you know and have been successful. Do you not know there is a cure for cancer? There is a cure for everything. There's an answer for the entire world. It's just who will pursue that thing in prayer. Oh yes, I'm a living miracle witness standing here. He told me my right foot would be a club foot and I'd never walk as I once did. I have problems going up and downstairs, but I can walk fast as any of you. And the foot ain't club. Praise and worship team, come on up. Something sweet and soft. Bow your heads. Y'all were so excellent this morning. The elders come to the front. The elders come to the front. God's going to do great and mighty things with you, young man. I saw that when I was here last time. I don't know what it was here. I was sitting out there. I'm talking about you. You, son. Yeah. What's your name? He's going to do great and mighty things. You're going to turn around because I'm going to need your help with the people. I saw that when I was here some months and months ago. I see your sincerity. Stick with it. Go above and beyond what you've been doing in prayer. Time is short. Thank God for women of God like Aunt Charlotte, these precious elders that are standing here. God bless you. I open this altar first with your heads bowed and you're praying. There's a sinner in the building. This is your opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Come. If you've not asked Jesus to come back in your life and save, come into your life and save you, or some that have wandered away and you need to ask him back into your life, come to this altar right now. That's why you have a church, so that people can be saved. Those of you that do not speak in tongues, have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, or have spoken one or two times, come. Hallelujah. This is what God sent me here for today. Whatever you think is appropriate. Come. You need to be filled. Just come all across the altar. God bless you, my sister. You need to be filled. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. You think you're stuck somewhere. You're trying to figure out how you're going to pay your bills. You want to pay your tithes, but you're scared because you're not sure you're going to have enough money. Tithing is faith. Get to praying in the Holy Ghost. Pay them tithes and watch God send some money in your door. Yes, he will. You want deliverance from a thing. You want deliverance from the lust of the flesh. You need the Holy Ghost. Come on up here. Amen, 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 amen. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm going to say something different. Because of the time, we're not going to pray a long time. But if any of you, when I say go back to your seat, desire to stay when the service is dismissed, some of us will stay with you. Amen, elders? We will stay with you and work with you until you speak. Take the bitterness, the lie that God don't want you, that you're not good enough. Throw that stuff out your mind. God chose you for this. Yes, he did. He chose you for it, young man. He chose you for this, my sister, to break the bands asunder over your life. You love God. I can see it in your face. We're going to start praying. And when I finish that prayer, one, two, then I say, one, two, three, start saying happy hallelujahs. Hallelujah. If you feel yourself bending over, pull yourself back up because you are not ashamed. You reach up to your Father. You lift your arms to your Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every one of these souls that are here at this altar, I pray, God, and I ask that they would enter this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for any wrongdoing that I have done. I confess my faults before you. Clean me afresh in the name of Jesus. All right. Now, Father God, we've confessed our faults before you. And I did that so it would be taken off of their minds. So now I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost to fall down on this altar. I bind every hindrance and I loose the Holy Ghost to every single person at this altar right now. by the power and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be filled in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah.
To you.
Hallelujah.